special thanks to Becca Staley, Julie Crosby, Hugh Grant, Jessica Lee, David Prude, and Vesta Godars. Our website is democracynow.org. You can read transcripts here and watch our podcast there. I'm Amy Goodman from Denver, Colorado. Thanks so much for joining us.
The time is now 4:59 p.m. This is KBOO Portland. Coming up next is the KBOO Evening News.
I'm Naomi Klein, and I support KBOO Community Radio because we all need a place to talk.
Frankie and Johnny were sweethearts. At least that's the way the story goes.
Tune in to KBOO Monday, February 16th at 7 p.m. for another broadcast from the Steam Radio Syndicate, performing live from a tugboat in the Willamette River. Their focus this time is the Ballad of Frankie and Johnny.
He was her man, but he done her wrong.
Again, that's the Steam Radio Syndicate, Monday, February 16th at 7 p.m. here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
This story has no morrow. This story has no end. This story just goes to show that there ain't no good in men. He was a man, and he done a wrong.
Today is World Radio Day. When the 36th General Conference of UNESCO approved the creation of World Radio Day in 2011, they had it in mind to recognize radio, quote, as a low-cost medium specifically suited to reach remote communities and vulnerable people, the illiterate, the disabled, women, youth, and the poor, while offering a platform to intervene in the public debate, irrespective of people's educational level, end of quote. In other words, UNESCO, by initiating this special celebration, is acknowledging the importance of having a diversity of ideas shared and spread through the airwaves. Celebrate radio today and donate to KBOO.
KBOO would like to thank our community partners that donated food for our volunteers today. Please call 877-500-5266 to show your support for KBOO today. Breakfast was provided by Helzer's on Alberta, serving the community since 2004, using family recipes and local ingredients. Serving breakfast every day starting at 7 a.m., located at 1538 Northeast Alberta Street. Lunch was provided by Bridges Cafe and Catering, located at 2716 Northeast MLK Jr. Boulevard. Committed to using local and organic ingredients, breakfast served every day, all day, and lunch on weekdays. Dinner was provided by Pambiche, a Cuban restaurant serving Cuban Creole cuisine and Cuban cocktails, located at 2811 Northeast Gleason, open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
Coming up on our hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News, the governor of Oregon has resigned, naming Secretary of State Kate Brown as his successor.
Portland activists hold an action at City Hall to call for the divestment from fossil fuels.
The company that took over for the proposed coal export terminals in Oregon is the subject of protests in Colorado.
Good Good evening. This is the KABU Evening News for Friday, February 13th, 2015. KABU is currently in our membership drive, and we'd like to urge you to become a member by calling 877-500-5266. I'm Linda Olson-Osterland.
And I'm Liam Delta. Oregon's Governor John Kitzhafer has officially announced his resignation. He criticized the media for convicting him without evidence, but said he understands that because of this conviction in the court of public opinion, he's become a liability.
I am announcing today that I will resign as governor of the state of Oregon. It is not in my nature to walk away from a job that I have undertaken. It is to stand and fight for the cause. And so I apologize to all those people who gave of their faith, time, energy, and resources to elect me to a fourth term last year, and who have supported me over the past three decades. I promise you that I will continue to pursue our shared goals and our common cause in another venue. I must also say that it is deeply troubling to me to realize that we have come to a place in the history of this great state of ours where a person can be charged, tried, convicted, and sentenced by the media with no due process and no independent verification of the allegations involved. But even more troubling, and on a very personal level, as someone who has given 35 years of public service to Oregon, is that so many of my former allies in common cause have been willing to simply accept this judgment at its face value. It is something that is hard for me to comprehend, something we might expect in Washington, D.C., but surely not in Oregon. I do not know what it means for our shared future, but I do know that it is seriously undermining civic engagement in this state and the quality of the public discourse that once made Oregon stand out from the pack. Nonetheless, I understand that I have become a liability to the very institutions and policies to which I have dedicated my career, and indeed my entire adult life. As a former presiding officer, I fully understand the reasons for which I have been asked to resign. I am confident that I have not broken any laws, nor taken any actions that were dishonest or dishonorable in their intent or in their outcome. That is why I ask both the Ethics Commission and the Attorney General to take a full and comprehensive look at my actions, and I will continue to fully cooperate with those ongoing efforts. I am equally confident that once they have been concluded, Oregonians will see that I have never put anything before my love for and commitment to Oregon, and faithfully fulfilling the responsibilities of the public offices I have had the honor to hold. But it is also clear that this process will take months. I have always had the deepest respect for the remarkable institution that is the Oregon Legislature and for the office of the governor, and I cannot in good conscience continue to be the element that undermines it. I have always tried to do the right thing, and now the right thing to do is to step aside. One thing I hope people know about me is that I love this state and its people, its rivers, its mountains, and its landscapes with every fiber of my being. And it is because of that love that I tender my resignation as governor effective at 10 a.m. on February 18th, 2015. Secretary of State Kate Brown will take the oath of office as Oregon's governor at that time. Oregon will be in good hands, and I wish her well.
Governor John Kitzhafer will be replaced by Kate Brown, the Oregon Secretary of State. Kitzhafer faced controversy in his term of office for the insider connections between his office and companies involved in the push for the Columbia River Crossing Bridge, which was eventually canceled, but would have cost over $4 billion. But the scandal that resulted in his resignation today involved conflicts of interest in contracts and jobs awarded to his fiancée, Sylvia Hayes.
Activists gathered today at the Portland City Hall to urge Mayor Hales to divest from fossil fuels. This gathering was part of a global day of action to delegitimize the fossil fuel industry. Global Divestment Day participants will also call on institutions to reinvest their money in sustainable energy solutions. Portland activists say that in June 2013, Mayor Hales announced the need to move away from state holdings in fossil fuel. Yet 20 months later, the resolution has not come before the City Council. Instead, in 2014, Portland purchased $20 million in ExxonMobil bonds. For more, KABU's Isabel Charlet brings us this report from the Global Divestment Day gathering at City Hall.
What do we want?
Can you start by telling me your name and who you're with?
Adriana Vosandre with 350 PDX.
Can you explain what what your intention is here. What's your goal?
Why are we in front of City Hall? Because over a year ago, Charlie Hales, on World Environment Day, pledged that he would divest our city from the top fossil fuel corporations. And it's been over a year, and yet...
I heard that Portland has spent $20 million purchasing bonds from ExxonMobil.
Exactly. So since then, he hasn't not only divested the city, but $20 million have been invested in ExxonMobil, which is notorious, a corporation that's notorious for some of the worst environmental disasters we've ever seen in the world, and notorious for funding climate denial, for confusing the public about the urgency of the issue, and for stopping any progress in legislation and laws that will help us transition to a better place, to this wonderful opportunity we have.
So what does this mean for folks in Portland today? What are you asking of folks to do right now?
So everyone is here to ask the city to ask Charlie Hales to keep his pledge, and he has to decide if he's with us or if he's with fossil fuel industry. Which one will he choose?
No fossil fuels!
No fossil fuels!
No fossil fuels!
No fossil fuels! No fossil fuels!
All right, I'm speaking with Elise and Linda from Divest PSU. So what's your message for Charlie Hales today? What's important for Portlanders to know about this event?
I think that there's a handful of important things. It's hard to, like, really narrow down, but I think the idea is, like, it's time for action. I think that's really easy. It's just time. It's been proven over and over again that we need to start thinking about our future and not just about now.
From Portland City Hall, I'm Isabel Charlet with KBOO News.
America's Southwest region is currently experiencing the most severe drought of recent decades. But a new research paper by climate scientists indicates that the 21st century will most likely undergo a series of mega droughts not seen since the 11th and 12th centuries. A mega drought is a drought that lasts 20 years or more. The longest droughts in historical memory, such as the 1930s Dust Bowl, in contrast, only lasted a decade. Using computer projection models and data gathered from tree rings, the scientists determined that regional temperatures will likely increase by 5%, with a corresponding 30% decrease in water supply. Although rainfall levels during drought years can remain the same as during non-drought years, the increased regional temperature means there's a higher rate of evaporation as well as significantly smaller snowpacks, both of which lead to decreased water tables. According to the U.S. Geological Survey, Californians use about 2.5 trillion gallons of water a year, roughly 181 gallons of water per person per day. With increasing demand and looming water shortages, the time of water rationing and decreased agricultural output seems imminent.
And now, KBOO volunteers have worked really hard to bring you this locally produced newscast every single evening. So now we're asking you, really inviting you, to show your support for the KBOO Evening News. Joining us now are Teresa and Jackie.
Good afternoon.
To talk about how you can do this. Go right ahead, Teresa.
Well, the number to call is 877-500-5266. And how about this news? I mean, Kits on the Fritz, Secretary of State, now get used to this, Governor Kate Brown.
I like the sound.
This is KBOO. We do the news. And what do we want? Pledges.
Yes.
And when do we want them?
Now.
We want you to light up the phones for the KBOO News team working so hard, bringing you so many stories that are relevant to you. I'm thinking right now of the bomb trains that have been coming through, and KBOO News has been so keeping track of that and reporting to you. That is very important news. And it's news that is going to be different in a certain way, different because it is absolutely dedicated to you and not to corporate sponsors. And the way that this works is we get the money from you, and then we all kind of get together and volunteer, and we make it happen, and that's why we don't have a secret corporate agenda. I probably shouldn't say secret because it sounds too conspiratorial. I just mean a habitual corporate agenda that you hear everywhere else, frankly, everywhere else. 877-500-KBOO, 877-500-5266, and we have had people calling in.
Yes, we are supported by wonderful people like Sophia from Beaverton.
Yes, thank you, Sophia. Joshua from Southeast Portland. And Paul from Southeast Portland, thank you so much for contributing to community radio. I'm just a little flicklimpt. Thank
you. We didn't have Paul, it would be appalling.
Oh, there you go.
I like that pun. That was appalling.
So if you would like the puns to stop, please call 877-500-5266 and donate today. No, I'm just kidding. I love you, Tracy. Oh.
877-500-KABU, 877-500-5266. If you're driving, please pull over before you call. Be safe, 877-500-5266. And now, back to
the evening
programming.
News. The evening news.
Greenpeace activists in Denver protested outside the offices of Resource Capital Funds, a private equity firm that recently bought the bulk of Amber Energy's ownership of two proposed coal export facilities in Oregon and Washington. Amber Energy sold ownership of the proposed facilities at a discount after low coal prices threatened bankruptcy. The two facilities, one in Boardman, Oregon, the other in Longview, Washington, are controversial because of the negative impact on local communities as well as the highly polluting nature of coal as a source of energy. KBOO's Ethan Martin spoke earlier today with John Smythe, an organizer and writer for Greenpeace.
My name is Joe Smythe, and I'm a spokesperson for Greenpeace based in Denver, Colorado.
Great. Well, yeah, I was wondering if you could talk about the protests that happened in Denver today regarding Resource Capital Fund's recent purchase of Amber Energy.
So today, as part of Global Divestment Day, dozens of protesters rallied outside the Denver headquarters of Resource Capital Funds, which is a private equity firm that recently purchased the controversial coal export proposals from Amber Energy. So, the folks here in Denver wanted to stand in solidarity with the people, communities, and tribes that have been fighting these coal export proposals in Oregon and Washington. By making sure that the investors in this project understand how controversial and risky these proposals really are. So as part of the day, we also launched a new website, which is resourcecapitalfunds-exposed.com. And this site details who Resource Capital Funds is, their role in these controversial coal export proposals, and all the problems, people have been speaking out about in the Pacific Northwest, because we want to make sure that that folks financing these projects understand that they're widely opposed and present, really serious risks to communities and ecosystems.
Yeah, maybe you could talk about some of the specifics of those risks. I know the Oregon Department of State Lands denied a crucial permit for one of the coal export facilities. I think it was the Morrow Coal Facility in Boardman, Oregon, and they denied the permit because it would interfere with fishing rights guaranteed to the Columbia River tribes. I was wondering if maybe you could talk about the specifics of how the coal export facilities threaten those existing rights and just harm the surrounding communities in other ways.
Yeah, that's right. The permit was denied, and so for now that project can't move forward. They're appealing it, but that's right. I mean, the Oregon Department of State Lands determined that the proposal would, impact these traditional fishing areas, and so they rejected that permit. But the bigger problem is that all of these proposals would pose serious problems to tribal fishing areas, as well as communities that would be impacted by rail transport of coal, barging of coal down the Columbia River. Right, so these sparks concerns about air pollution, coal dust, diesel from increased coal train traffic. And then in addition to that, of course, if the Longview coal export terminal were built, it would be the largest coal export terminal in North America. So we're talking about a huge amount of carbon pollution and air pollution that we would be exporting to Asia. So anywhere coal is burned, right, it impacts our climate and it impacts the air of people living nearby these plants. So they're really irresponsible proposals, and that's why we wanted to make sure that the folks financing these projects understand just the
severity of what's at stake.
So there's the local impact on tribal communities and just local communities via the transportation of these coal exports. But then there's also the implications of serious contributions to climate change as well. That is primarily why Greenpeace is protesting them, I assume.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, Greenpeace is a global organization. So, you know, we're really focused on protecting our oceans and global forests and our climate, of course. And so, you know, we released a report a couple of years ago called The Point of No Return. And we basically looked at, you know, all the major fossil fuel project proposals around the world. And these export proposals in the Pacific Northwest, it turns out that they're one of the largest threats to the climate of any fossil fuel development projects worldwide. So it's really critical that, you know, we keep working together to make sure that these proposals are blocked finally, and that that, you know, investors understand that these are controversial and risky proposals that do not deserve their support.
So aside from the one crucial permit that was denied for the Morrow coal facility, what do you think the likelihood that these two terminals will be developed in the coming years? Is there a good chance, or is there kind of enough public discouragement that it's unlikely?
Yeah, I think that all of the coal export proposals in the Pacific Northwest will be stopped. I think that the you know, they just pose such enormous risks to so many communities, and there's been such, you know, powerful work from so many people in the Pacific Northwest to stop them, that I think that they will be stopped. But it is going to be a tough fight, because the coal industry is very desperate, and this is, you know, this is what they're kind of banking on to reach new markets as we start moving away from coal in the United States. So they're going to keep pursuing these proposals until they're completely stopped. So it's important that, you know, people stay engaged and finally kill these projects once and for all.
Since we're trying to raise awareness for Global Divestment Day from fossil fuels for our listeners, I was wondering if you could kind of place today's protest in Denver within the broader context of today's global kind of day of action that's happening right now.
Yeah, so our event was focused on resource capital funds, because we think that, you know, these proposals are so dangerous. But it really was just one part of a huge day of action all across the world. People are rallying today and tomorrow for Global Divestment Day, calling on universities, religious institutions, pension funds, all kinds of institutions that, you know, invest money, to make sure that they understand that, you know, investing in fossil fuel companies and projects is controversial and increasingly risky. We're proud to be a small part of a big day at Global Divestment.
That was Joe Smith with Greenpeace, and this is Ethan Martin with KBOO News.
You are listening to an hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. We'd like to remind you that you can call to renew your KBOO membership or become a member at any time during the program by calling 877-500-5266. At 6, stay tuned for Bread and Roses. This evening's show will feature the authors of Lifestyles Unlubricated, a Portland-based women's anthology. At 7, it's Public Affairs Special Programming. Tomorrow's weather is mixed sunshine and clouds, with temperature highs around 58 degrees. Sunday will be quite sunny with highs around 62 degrees. Today in history, in 1960, black students staged the first sit-ins at 3 lunch counters in Nashville, Tennessee. Also in 2004, researchers at the Harvard Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics announced the discovery of the universe's largest known diamond, a partially crystallized white dwarf star, affectionately referred to as Lucy, after the Beatles song Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. The quote of the day is, The really important kind of freedom involves attention and awareness and discipline and effort and being able truly to care about other people and to sacrifice for them over and over in myriad petty little unsexy ways every day. By David Foster Wallace from his book, This Is Water.
A 51-year-old Portland man has pleaded guilty to being an accessory in a suicide bombing attack in Pakistan. Riz Khan is a U.S. citizen from Portland who had faced a potential of multiple life sentences for a 2009 bombing in Pakistan that killed 30 people. Khan was not charged with the actual involvement in the attack, but was sending money to the man who carried out the bombing. He sent about $2,000 to Ali Jalil in Pakistan, but it's never been proven that Khan knew that Jalil was going to carry out an attack. He was not convicted on that charge. But he did plead guilty to sending money to Jalil's two wives after the bombing took place. For that, he'll receive a sentence of 15 years in prison and a $250,000 fine.
A Portland man who says he was tortured for 106 days in Abu Dhabi is now negotiating a return to the United States. Jonas Fikre says that in 2011 he was interrogated and tortured for 106 days in Abu Dhabi because he refused to serve as an FBI informant in a Portland mosque. Fikre has lived in Sweden for the past 3 years where he had asylum. Yet earlier in the month, Swedish officials told Fikre that he could no longer seek refuge there. The 36-year-old Eritrean-born businessman will be forced to return to the United States where he is a citizen and has a passport. But yesterday, the Department of Homeland Security informed him that he remains on the no-fly list. While the U.S. is likely to grant him a one-time waiver of the no-flying order, he will not be able to leave the country after he arrives. This ordeal is part of Fikre's five-year struggle that began in 2009 when he visited family in Sudan. Fikre says that two FBI agents approached him in Sudan and asked him to work as their informant inside Portland's biggest Sunni mosque. Fikre says that the FBI agents told him that there would be dangerous consequences if he did not comply. Lawyers say that Fikre was abducted in mid-2011 while visiting the United Arab Emirates. He was taken to a torture facility, blindfolded and interrogated by strangers for more than 3 months. His torturers asked questions about what kind of preaching was going on in the Portland area mosque. After 3 months of torture, Fikre was released, and he filed a lawsuit against the FBI. A ruling last July, however, said the court threw out many of the claims that Fikre made about the FBI's direct links to the interrogators.
You're listening to a membership drive special of the Cable Evening News. This is the time when we close the circle. Teresa and Jackie are here to let you know how you can be part of this radio station.
Yes, indeed. You are listening to KBOO FM, and here we are brought to life by community members like you, community members who help keep us afloat every day. We want to hear your voices. Give us a call at 877-500-5266 and donate today. It's getting a little cold out. Do you need a hoodie? Donate $20 a month and you can get this amazing KBOO hoodie that is selling like hotcakes out here. It's got our KBOO logo with a standing tall, a radio tower, and a star and lightning bolts, and it's just a wonderful design, and people are loving it. So if you can donate $20 a month, you can get this awesome hoodie by calling us at 877-500-5266.
I'm Teresa Mitchell, and this is the voice that I often use in public. I believe in community radio. In April 2001, I announced on air that I was changing apparent gender from male to female. KBOO contributors, volunteers, and staff reacted with
kindness and support. That's the sort of community you'll be joining. And if you're wondering why I use this voice on radio, it is because, frankly, you'll listen to this voice over a feminine voice. It's true, isn't it? 877-500-5266. 877-500-KABU is the number to call in. I would like to actually encourage you to get, if you can afford it, if you've got it together and are lucky enough to be, you know, making a living wage, why not get the amazing flying hoodie? I call it the flying hoodie because it's been flying off the wall here, flying off our shelves, and people just want that hoodie. And you can get it by calling us and pledging $20 per month, our sustaining pledge. And $20 a month, a lot of people can get that together. Mm-hmm. That's what I contribute. You can get the hoodie. This is a 80% cotton, 20% polyester, made in the USA hoodie. It's very luxurious feel. It's quite thick. It's got the obligatory pouch in the front for warming your hands in, and it's got a fantastic design on it. It's just sort of a post-Soviet looking design that has got just enough that post-Soviet that you can tell that we really don't give a damn about Lenin, but we do like the idea of people power, and it just looks scary enough. It's got some red and it's got some green. It's got lightning bolts and a star and a tower. It's a great design.
And it's got your name on it.
Yes, it does. So please call now, 877-500-5266. Light up the lines and light up our volunteers, because we love to hear other contributors call in.
Mm-hmm. And KB would also like to thank Marta Lang for coming in today and giving our volunteers and staff chair massages. Marta has been practicing for 10 years in Portland area, and her treatments range from gentle to deep. So, more info at martalang.com. That's MartaLange.com. And we have all kinds of wonderful things for you. For $75 membership, you can get a 4-gig KABU flash drive filled with MP3s and podcasts to play from your chosen device. We have all kinds of audio pieces from KABU artists in residence for 2013 and 2014, with names like Sarah Van Gelder, Colonel West of Love and Justice, Winona LaDuke, Native American activist and storyteller from Honor the Earth and Love Water Not Oil. Oh, there's a caller right there. See, we want to hear from you, so please give us a call, 877-500-5266. Or again, if you are listening online, you can go to kboo.fm, click the little tip jar up there in the right hand corner, and pledge today.
You know, you can get that audio pledge, that audio, huh?